We're holding on Rav Amud Aleph, the fourth line. We're in the middle of discussing this business of Esed Doicha Lois Esed, where we know it from. We had established before that we seem to have learned it from, it seems that everybody can learn the basic concept that Esed Doicha Lois Esed from the fact that you're allowed to wear tzitzis that have kelai in them. However, then the Gemara said, okay, but we need to know how you know that Doicha Alav Sheyesh Bekaris. Which, in the case of Yibum, if we started the whole sugya back on Gimel Amud Beis discussing the question, how do we know that you don't do Yibum when the woman is also is an erva in a different way? The fact that, of course, she's always in a certain sense an erva because she's your brother's wife and she's one of the arayas. But fine, that the Torah is specifically matir, so we're not talking about that. But we said, for example, suppose that he's his wife's sister or any of the other arayas. So we needed a Zeder Shavah to tell us that you don't do Yibum in that case, which led us into the discussion then. So what makes us say that that it would override the lav such that we should need a Zeder Shavah to tell us otherwise? So now we're saying, yes, even if we know that by a regular lav, how do we know that that's the case also when the lav involves Karis? And now, in the course of discussing that, we mentioned the concept that Kibud Av Ve'em is not Doicha Shabbos, where after all, Shabbos, so we said, the fact that we need a pasuk to tell us as Shamsosi Dishmodu, morning Ali, to tell us that that Kibud Av Ve'em is not Doicha Shabbos, where Shabbos is a lav that involves Kodesh, wouldn't that imply therefore that normally it would be? However, now the Gemara threw us a curveball and said the other way around. Well, why don't we say that? First of all, we could say that maybe not necessarily. When we're talking about that, the pasuk is saying Kibud Av Ve'em is not Doicha Shabbos, not even necessarily the malachas, the 39 malachas. We could even be talking about machamer, where you're leading an animal that's carrying a burden, which is not one of the 39 malachas, and there's no kares involved. Well, now the Gemara says, if you're going to say that that's the kind of thing that it's talking about, where your father tells you, go lead an animal for me, carrying a burden on Shabbos, or by the way, it doesn't even have to be that he's telling you, that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara, it doesn't have to be that he's telling you to actually do that. He's telling you, for example, bring me food, and the way to bring him food is by leading an animal carrying a burden. So if we're going to say that even that is not Doicha Shabbos, then just the opposite. Then we've taken away the whole thing that we said, that Esa Doicha Lois Esa. Now on the contrary, there we have an example where an Esa is not Doicha Lois Esa, and there's not even Kores involved. So maybe, in fact, that should mean that an essay is never Doicha Lois Esed. So how do we know that it does? So we said, okay, you're going to say, but maybe a lav of Shabbos is more chomer. But we see that not so. We see that a Tana in a Braisa, which we're going to quote now, is learning from Shabbos to other din. That's where we're holding, the fourth line of Vav Amidah. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Yochol Amalai Ovav Hitamei. Suppose that a Kohen's father tells him, become Tomei, go into a Beis HaKvaris. For example, there's a lost object over there, go in there and return it. Osha Omalei Al Taksi. Or he tells him, I know you found the lost object, don't return it. Yoho Yishmalo, you would think that the son should listen to him. After all, Kibud Av Ve'em. No, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the Pasuk says, as we quoted before, Ish imei v'avav tiro v'es shabbosot tishmoru. Everybody should fear their father and mother, and you should observe my shabbosim. Kolchem chayavim mikvodi. So as we said before, it means all of you are obligated in my covenant. Both you and your father have to listen to me, and I said not to break Shabbos. And we see, therefore, that it applies not only to breaking Shabbos, we see that it applies equally well to not becoming tamei. So if we were to say then that this concept of an essay not being Doicha Lois Esa applies not only to a malacha of Shabbos, but even to something like Mechamer, and even we're saying over here something that has nothing to do with Shabbos, then wouldn't we be able to say then on that basis? So we see Kibud Av Ve'em, which is an essay, is not Doicha any lav. Well, therefore, so in general, Esa should not be Doicha Lois Esa ever. Whereas we said before that it is. Whereas we said before that it was. So why not? From Rashi, by the way, from Rashi's Lashon, it sounds like It sounds like we're talking about that just the father, for no particular reason, is telling him, don't return the lost object or go into the Beis HaKvaris to return it. In which case, Rishonim asked, and in that case, then how is that really part of Kibud Av Va'Em? Kibud Av Va'Em, I mean, it includes the mentality, of course, of listening to what your parents tell you, but primarily the mitzvah of Kibud is where you're actually doing things for them. The Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, in the Sugya, on the subject, that, for example, Kibud includes that you give them food and drink and clothing and things like that. So therefore, they explain that, fine, we're talking about, let's say, the father is saying, don't return the lost object because you're supposed to be doing something for me right now. And we're saying that you don't do that, you still go and do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Anyway, so why wouldn't we say then in that case that we see that an eser of Kibud Av Va'Em is never doicher lois eser? In both of those things, there are lois esers. There's a lois eser for a kohen not to become tamei. There's a lois eser not to ignore a lost object, but rather to return it. And the reason is, the Gemara says, Ela mishum de'ikah l'mifrach. No, but the reason would be, so let's go back to the initial assumption that in fact, in the case of Kibud Av Va'Em and Shabbos, we are in fact talking about that the father is telling the son, cook for me on Shabbos, for example, one of the 39 malachas. But still, you can't, still you could argue that in general, an eser is not doicha loisa sheyesh bekoris. Why do you need over here the pasuk Veshab Sosi Tishmoru to tell us that it does? Because Mishum de Ikal Mifrach, because you could slug it up, you could say you can't learn from that. Malahanach Shaken Hechsha Mitzvah. Because when the father is telling you to shecht or cook or whatever for him on Shabbos, that is a Hechsha Mitzvah. Meaning, in other words, the actual action of cooking, on the one hand, you're breaking Shabbos. On the other hand, you're being mekayim the mitzvah saseh of Kibud Av Va'Em. So in other words, heksher mitzvah is how Rashi learns. We'll talk in a second. Tosfos learns differently. So a heksher mitzvah, according to Rashi, means that there's no way to accomplish the eser without being over on the lois eser. So you would say that in a case like that, where the only way to be, your father wants you to cook for him, and the only way you can accomplish what he wants, where he wants you to cook food for him, is to break Shabbos, you would have thought that you should do that. And the pasuk tells you, to tell us that you don't do that. As opposed to Yibum, it's not like that. You always have an alternative. If you can't do Yibum, do Chalitza. So you could argue that in general, an essay is not doicha lav sheyesh bekoris, where it's possible to accomplish the essay in a different way. Namely, in the case of Yibum, you could accomplish, fine, you won't do the mitzvah, the essay of Yibum. Instead, you'll do chalitza, which is the substitute for it. And therefore we would say that you don't need a gzeira shava to tell you that you shouldn't do Yibum. Whereas by Kibud Av Va'Em, you could say that you need the Pasuk HaShab Sosit Yishmoru to tell us that you shouldn't break Shabbos to do Kibud Av Va'Em for your father. So you could still argue, therefore, that you still don't have a reason to say that an Esa should be Docha, Lav, Sheyesh, Bekardes, such that we should need a Gzeda Shava to tell us otherwise. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos has several problems with Rashi's explanation. One of them being, we talked briefly about the other day, and we're going to talk in more detail later on in the Masechta, that wherever there's no Yibum, then at least on a Daraisa level, where there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. That's what we said at the very beginning of the Masechta, that we shouldn't think, for example, that the Arayas mentioned in our Mishnah, you can't do Yibum because they're Arayas, but you should do Chalitza, you have to do Chalitza. And the Mishnah had told us that not, purchased, so to say, in Mina Chalitza or Mina Yibum. So therefore, how could the Gemara now be entertaining the idea that maybe on a Daraisa level, there could be a case where you can't do Yibum, but you have to do Chalitza? Dirabbanan, we have many examples of that, as we're going to have throughout the Masechta, but not Daraisa. So that and several other questions that Tosfos has on Rashi. Because of those questions, Tosfos understands and brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that the word Hechsher Mitzvah means the other way around. Hechsher Mitzvah means that you're not doing the actual mitzvah yet. It's only a preparation for the mitzvah. Meaning, so according to that then, according to Rashi, the Gemara has gone back on its initial assumption, We thought that maybe when we're talking about Kibud Avraim and the question of whether it overrides Shabbos, we're talking about, first we said that the Pashtos we're talking about where the father tells the son to do a malacha, something that's chayiv kares, for example, cooking. Then the Gemara had said, no, not necessarily. It could be mechamer, which doesn't involve kares. Now, according to Rashi, the Gemara has gone back on that and saying that after all, we are talking about cooking, and still you would have thought that it should override Shabbos were it not for the pasuk because of Hechsher Mitzvah. So Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel the other way around. No, the Gemara is still sticking with the understanding that we're talking about mechamer, so there's no kares involved. But the difference is, the reason why we wouldn't learn from that essay is never Dorichalois essay, is because in this case, it's only a Hechsher Mitzvah, namely the Mechamer. You're not accomplishing the actual Kibud Avraim yet by leading the animal. It's only you're doing it as a prerequisite for bringing food to your father. So that wouldn't necessarily have to do with a case, let's say, of Kilayim B'tzitzis, where you're accomplishing the lav and the eser at the same moment. Same moment you put on this garment, you're being over on Kilayim, but you're also being Mekayim the Mitzvah of B'tzitzis. So according to Tosfos, the Gemara is still sticking with the understanding that we're talking about Mechamer, and it's saying that Mechamer for Kibud Avraim is different because it's not the actual Mitzvah of Kibud Avraim yet, it's only a Hechsher. Anyway, the point is, we still don't have then, so fine. So according to Rashi then, we're back to the question, why should we say that an essay is docha lois essay sheyesh bei koris? If we can say that, maybe that applies only by Hechsher Mitzvah and not, for example, by Yibum. And according to Tosfos, the question is fine. So we're saying that we can't use this as a basis to say that Esseh is not Deutsch Alois Esseh, but we still are left with the question, which we're trying to resolve, how we know that an Esseh is Deutsch Alois Esseh Shiesh Bekoris, unless we're told otherwise. So Ella, so the Gemara says, rather Sapadat Chamina Tesim Abinian Beis Mikdash. You would think that we're told that you should learn it from the case of building the Beis Mikdash. The Tanya Yochol Yehi Binyan Beis Mikdash Doicha Shabbos. You would think that building the Beis Mikdash overrides Shabbos. No, Tamad Leimer as Shabbosi Tishmoru or Mikdashi Tiro. The pasuk says you should keep my Shabbosis and you should fear my Mikdash. Again, and the pasuk also there ends with Ani Hashem, implying Kuchem Chayav Mikvodi, implying all of you are Chayav in my covered. In other words, the Beis Mikdash itself is there only for the covered of Hashem. And Shabbos, as we learned yesterday, Tosfos says Shabbos shows more covered for Hashem even than building the Beis Mikdash, because with it you're testifying that Hashem created the world. So again, my lab bevoina v'soiser l'chura, we're talking about when the pasuk is telling us don't build the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos, it means even malachas daraisa, for example, building or tearing down. Now again, there you have the Shabbos is a lav sheyesh bekoris, and still we're saying, were it not for the pasuk es shabsosi tishmoru mikdashi tiro, you would build the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos. Building the Beis Mikdash is a mitzvah saseh, so therefore that would show that eser is normally docha lo saseh, that includes koris, and except over here that the pasuk tells you otherwise. And the Gemara answers back holad hachi dochi, implying that otherwise it would be docha. And again, the Gemara answers like it did before with Kibud Avraim, loy, not necessarily, lav de mechamer. You could say again that we're talking about the lav of leading a loaded animal. So let's say, for example, you have the animal was loaded up with stones or wood or whatever for building the Beis Mikdash before Shabbos. And on Shabbos itself, a goy loaded it up. And now on Shabbos, you're making the animal go. Which is, again, it's also on Shabbos, because the pasuk says, Ato Vincha, etc., over Hemtecha, have to rest on Shabbos, but it's not something that's Chayiv Kodesh, because you're not the one doing the Malacha. And still, you could say, the pasuk is telling you that's the kind of thing you don't do on Shabbos because of the pasuk. So Vafi Lahochi, Lodochi, nevertheless, even though it's only Mechama, rather than a full-fledged Malacha, nevertheless, the pasuk would be implying that it's not Docha Shabbos. So we have the same question as we did before, the Ella de Kaimel under Osa Esa Vedocha Loisese. So then in that case, the basic fact that Esa Docha Loisese, Ligma Mehocha de Loidochi, why can't we, in that case, by that logic, we should learn from here that in general, if not Docha, use this as a Binyan Av. Again, like we said before, rather than using Kilayim B'tzitzis as a Binyan Av to say that you could, use this as a binyan av to say that you couldn't. V'chiteima shiny lava de Shabbos to chamiri. And again, you're going to try to answer like before that the lava of Shabbos are different because they're so stringent. But again, v'hotana ba'al makoi. But just like we said at the top of the Amud, you have a tana is talk. It talks about other mitzvahs that have nothing to do with Shabbos. V'loi kaparich. And he doesn't use that as an upshlag. He doesn't use that to say, but you know what? Shabbos is different. So therefore, Shabbos is obviously not different in that regard. If we're going to say that an essay of building the Beis Mikdash is not doicha even the lav of Mechamer, which is not Chayiv Karis, and we're going to say now that it's not doicha other kinds of lavim as well, then we should learn from that essay is not doicha lav. D'tanya, as we said before, Yochol Omolai Ovavit. You would think that if a person's father says to him, become Tomei, the person is a Koyan, and his father tells him, become Tomei on my behalf, or he tells him, don't return the lost object that you found, you would think that you should listen to him. Therefore, to tell you otherwise, the Pasuk tells you everybody has to listen to their father, but it continues, meaning, all of you are chayav in my covered. So rather, why don't we say that? Why don't we say that we should learn from the fact that Kibud Avraim or Binyan Beis Mikdash are not doche any lav of Shabbos, even lav of Mechamer? Why don't we learn from that? Because you can slug it up. Because it's a Heksha Mitzvah. Again, we're back to the same thing that Rashi and Tosfos argue what Heksher Mitzvah means for this purpose. According to Rashi, Heksher Mitzvah means there's no other way to perform the Mitzvah Saseh. So therefore, that wouldn't be a proof to cases where you could perform the Mitzvah Saseh in a different way. For example, Yibum, where instead you could do Chalitza. And according to Tosfos, Heksher Mitzvah is you're not doing the actual Mitzvah itself. It's only a prerequisite for it. Namely, when you're leading an animal, carrying a burden, you're not actually doing Kibud Av Va'Em yet because you're not giving him the food yet. You're not actually building the Beis Mikdash yet because you're just bringing the building materials to the site. So you could say that kind of thing is not Doicha. It wouldn't show that other things are not Doicha Lav. So the Gemara says, one second, Heksher Mitzvah, typically Mehasa. The fact that if it's a Heksher Mitzvah, that it's different, we learn that already from Kibud Av Va'Em. You don't need to say it again in connection with the building of the Beis Mikdash. So then in that case, if it's saying again, Eschab Soysi Dishmoru, it must be that the Torah is telling you that even when there's no Heksher Mitzvah, then still the same rule would apply, because we would say, like we said previously, im in lozeh, tneu in lozeh, given that you don't need two psukim to teach you about what happens when a Heksher Mitzvah is involved, you would say, therefore, that it applies even when there's no Heksher Mitzvah, even when it's a regular case, of you want an eseh to be doicha lois eseh, and you would say that it doesn't on the basis of eschab soisi bishmodu, and therefore you would say that in general an eseh is not doicha lois eseh, at least shiyesh beikaris, maybe even a lav shein beikaris. So then in that case, we're back to why do we need a Gzeira Shava to tell us that the eseh of Yibum is not doicha the lois eseh of Arayas? So the Gemara says, Eino Chanami. So you're right. In fact, if we had those two, you would say one of them teaches you when there's Heksher Mitzvah, and the other one would teach you when there's not a Heksher Mitzvah. So rather, so why do we have those words? It does not, in fact, teach us that you can't override Shabbos to build the Beis Mikdash. Because you're right. If we learned it that way, then in fact, if we use those words for that limud, then you're right. We would have a basis that we would have to say that an essay is never doicha lois essay. Maybe only when yesh beikaris, maybe even when ain beikaris. So rather, we're going to use the words as shabsoisi deshmoru mikdashi tiro for a different din, and therefore we're back to we only have from the example of Kibud Av Va'Em. So fine, Kibud Av Va'Em, we would say is a special case because of Heksher Mitzvah. We wouldn't learn from it to other cases where there's no Heksher Mitzvah. We use the words of Shabsoisi Tishmeru and Mukhtar Shichiro to teach us what it says in a different place. Yocho Yisyare Odom Mimikdash. You would think that a person should fear the Beis Hamikdash, which means, in other words, Tosfos explains at the top of the next Amud, that it means that you would think that you should actually bow to the Beis Hamikdash and consider it a god. So when it comes to your parents, obviously you don't need that. There's nobody is going to think that you should worship your parents as a god. But the Beis Hamikdash, after all, you would think it is an object that has Kedusha. So therefore, you would think maybe if the Pasuk says Mikdash Yitiro means you actually have to worship the Beis Hamikdash as a god and bow down to it rather than bowing down in it in honor of Hashem. So no, Talmud Lomar, Shabbosi Tishmoru Mikdash Yitiro, the Pasuk says, keep my Shabbosis and fear my Mikdash, meaning Nemra Shmira B'Shabbos, the Nemra Murder B'Mikdash. So therefore, the Torah is making you a hekesh between keeping Shabbos and fearing the Mikdash. Ma shmira hamura b'Shabbos loy mishabbos atem tziyarei ela mishahizu ala Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, definitely we don't say that you're certainly not fearing Shabbos. What you're doing is you're fearing the one who commanded about Shabbos, and because of that, you're not breaking Shabbos. After all, by Shabbos, it never says the word moira. It never says to fear Shabbos. So therefore, it means that you have to keep Shabbos out of fear, out of respect for Hashem who commanded it. Ah, Moira, Hamura B'Mikdash, same thing. When it says by the Beis Hamikdash that you have to fear it, Loi Mimikdash Achim Mitzyare, it's not that you fear the Beis Hamikdash itself and worship it as a god, rather, you have to fear and you have to respect Hashem, who wound you to be respectful in the Beis Hamikdash. So then, what is the definition of Moira Mikdash that you have to keep? It means lo yikonis odem b'harabayis b'makloi, means you're not allowed to walk into the harabayis with your walking stick, because that shows a lack of derech eretz for the place. B'min oloi, or wearing leather shoes, you have to go barefoot or in socks or slippers or what have you. B'fundosai, you're not allowed to go in with into the Beis Hamikdash with your pundosai. So Rashi explains pundosai means a money belt. So it's not respectful to walk into the Beis Hamikdash wearing a money belt. A number of Rishonim rather explain that a punda is an undershirt. So it would mean that you can't walk in with your undershirt without a shirt, without wearing a shirt or a jacket or whatever over it. And over Ovakshav Gabi Raglov, you're also not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash with the dust on your feet. Below Yasenu Kapadaria, you're not allowed to use the Beis Hamikdash as a shortcut to go in one end, to go in on one side and come out on the other side in order to take a shortcut to a different part of the city. Urikik, which by the way, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that if you have many of these dinim, some of these dinim at least that we're talking about over here apply to a shul as well. The dinim about going in with a walking stick or shoes or whatever don't, but the one about Kapandaya applies to a shul as well. We learned about it in Megillah a couple of months back. We did learn over there, by the way, that if you're going into the shul in order to daven or something like that, then you can and maybe even should use it as a kapandalia. The Gemara brought over there a pasuk from Yechezkel that says that it's an aftorah parshat chodesh that says that when people come to the Beis Hamikdash to bow to Hashem, so whoever comes through the north gate should lead through the south gate and vice versa. So there you're saying do use it as a kapandalia because they are just the opposite. Since you're coming there for a constructive purpose, namely to bow and bring korbanos to Hashem, then therefore, just the opposite, you should use it. You should walk the full length of it in order to experience the full beauty and majesty of the Beis Hamikdash. But other than that, we're saying you don't make it a kapandalia, you don't make it a shortcut. So therefore, that's part of Moda Mikdash. And or a kick of the kavachomer, and you have a kavachomer that tells you that you can't spit in the Beis Hamikdash, namely. And Rashi brings from the Gemara in Brachas about that we have a kavachomer on the basis of a pasuk in the Megillah. So in Yonah D'Yoma, since it's a few days before Purim now, it says over there that you don't come to the king's gate wearing sackcloth. So if you don't, sackcloth is not disgusting, but it's beneath the dignity to be there in the king's court. How much more so spitting, which is disgusting. So then you shouldn't do that in the Beis Hamikdash. So all of that is included in the concept of Moira. and continues the Braisa, the Ainli Elab is Manchabes Mefesh Kayam. Now, if you only had that one pasuk which is at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, if you only had that pasuk, then you would only know that that applies when the Bais Mikdash is standing. How do we know that it applies even when the Bais Mikdash is destroyed? Talmud Lomar. Therefore, we have the pasuk that we brought at the beginning, that we brought earlier in the sugya, as Shabsoti Tishmoru or Mikdashi Tiro, where it compares it in the same pasuk with keeping Shabbos. So we have two places, in other words, where we have a hekesh between Shabbos and the Bais Mikdash. So the first one teaches us that murder does not include worshiping the Bais Mikdash itself. And now the second one is going to teach us that it applies, that all of these dinim that we just said that are included in murder mikdash apply even when the Bais Mikdash is destroyed. We learn, mash mirah ha-murah b'Shabbos lo'olam, just like observing Shabbos is forever, there's no time limit, there's nothing about keeping Shabbos that it's only in certain times or only in certain places. Ach morah murah b'mikdash lo'olam. The same thing is true as far as murah mikdash, that it continues to apply forever. So all of these dinim, that you're not allowed to go into the area of the Bais Mikdash with a walking stick or shoes and so on and so forth, those still apply today. Practically speaking, nowadays we're all tummy mess, so we can't go into the area of the Bais Mikdash anyway. But even let's say a person is tahor, or even for example, you have let's say Israeli soldiers that have to patrol over there, they still have to be careful about those dinim. So we thought before that since we have both Kibbud Av V'Eim and Moda Mikdash and building the Bais Mikdash, neither one of which overrides Shabbos. So we thought now we have a source to say that Esa is not Doicha Lois Esa at all, or at least not a lot, or at least not a Lav Sheyesh Bekaris, depending on how we learn. If we say that we're talking about Shabbos in terms of the 39 Malachas, then it demonstrates that we could say we don't really have a proof that Esa Doicha Lois Esa Sheyesh Bekaris. We would say it doesn't. Therefore, we wouldn't need a Gzeira Shabbat to tell us that it doesn't by Yibum. Or if we said we're talking about Mechamer, then we would say even a lav that does not involve Koris is not overridden by an Esser. So instead, the Gemara said, fine, but the Pasuk about the Bais Mikdash, about Shabbos and the Bais Mikdash, we're taking it from that, and we're using it actually to learn a different din, namely what we just said, that the concept of what Moda Mikdash is and isn't, and the concept that applies even nowadays when the Bais Mikdash is destroyed. But that still leaves us with fine. So we're not going to learn from the Bais Mikdash. We're only going to learn from parents, but we're still left with the question, how do we know that an essay is Doicha Lois Esa Sheyesh Bekaris, such that by Yibum we should need to be told otherwise? Or if we say that we're still talking about Mechamer, how do we know that essay is Doicha Lois Esa in general? Where it's only a Hechsha Mitzvah. Ela, Sakadai Dechamina, Teitzim Ehav Ara. So rather, here's another possibility. You would think, without the Zera Shava, that Yibum should override a Lav Sheyesh Bekaris on the basis of what we find as far as Havara. Havara is burning a fire, and the Torah tells us, you know, Loisivaru Eish V'chomesh V'seichem B'yem HaShabbos, and we're going to say that we have a special pasuk to tell us that that applies even when there's an essay involved, namely the essay of Mrs. Bastian. So then we're going to go through a discussion. As far as that. So Ella Sabrat Hamina Taysim Avara, the Tanad Ve Rabbi Shmuel, namely in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a brayta. When the pasuk says Loisivaru Eish V'chomesh V'seichem, when it says you shouldn't light a fire anywhere in your dwelling places, which implies anywhere where you live, even in chutzpah. Ma tamad loymar. So what is that pasuk coming to tell us? So before the Gemara continues the Braisa, the Gemara interjects. What do you mean ma tamad loymar? What do you mean, why does it have to say the pasuk? We know why it has to say the pasuk. In other words, the Gemara is thinking that the Tana, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, is wondering why the Torah needs to single out Havara out of all of the 39 malachas. Well, we know why it has to. There's machlokas tanoim on that. Why Havara is singled out among the 39 malachas? According to Rabbi Yossi, it comes to teach us that Havara is only a lav. According to Rabbi Yossi, there are only 38 malachas for which a person would be chayev misa or kares or what have you, making a fire according to him is only a lav. So there's no kares, no skill, or no chata, no maybe chatas. No, there wouldn't be a chatas for pashtos either according to him. Certainly no kares and no skill. And according to the Mnasin, it comes l'chalik to teach you that each malacha is distinct from the other one, namely that if you do a bunch, if a person does a bunch of malachas on Shabbos, he's chayev separate chatois for it. So actually, Rashi over here says l'chalik means you would have thought maybe without the word v'isavaru esh, maybe a person is chayev for chilul Shabbos only if he breaks all 39 malachas. So therefore, instead we're mentioning avara singly to tell us for it all by itself a person is chayev mitzvah. In other places where it talks about this matter of a chalik, Rashi explains somewhat differently that it means that if a person does a bunch of malachas, he's chayev a chatas for each one individually. Anyway, the point is, so that's why it has to say lo sevaru esh, to tell us those concepts. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, have order la chalik, have order la lav, have order, well, Tanya, have order la lav yotzes divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says that the havara comes to teach us that it's only a lav. In other words, Rabbi Yosi gives us as an example of davar shahoya b'chlal, the yotzes lidon b'davar chadash. Rabbi Yosi considers this, that this is something where you have a new detail mentioned by it, namely that it's a that namely that you're not allowed to do it. And therefore, he says that iyat yochal achzir lechloloi ad sheachzirim akosav lechol beferush. So therefore, he says that, in other words, because like this, the psukim go like this at the beginning of Vayakel. It says Moshe gathered together the people, and he tells them sheishis yomim tasa malacha, and on the seventh day is Shabbos, and anybody who does malacha on Shabbos will be put to death. Then he says lo sevaru esh b'chomesh beisechem b'yom haShabbos. So Rabbi Yosi is learning that the fact that first it mentions Misa for the Malachas, then it says Lo Sevaru Esh, rather than putting Lo Sevaru before the others, teaches us that it's L'chalik, it comes to it's L'lav Yotzes, rather, it comes to tell us that unlike all the other Malachas, this one is an exception. The Torah is singling it out and saying on it only Lo Sevaru Esh, don't light a fire, but if you do, then you only Chayav Malchus, like for any other Lav, not Kares or Skila or what have you. So therefore, he says, L'lav Yotzes. So it's an example of, again, it's according to him, it's an example of Yotze Lidin, Dabar Chodosh, where you can't put it back into the cloud unless the Torah does, and since the Torah doesn't, then he says that it's only a... 1 second. Sorry. Sorry about that. My talisman fell down. So according to him, Havara is there l'lav to tell us that it's an exception to the rule and it's only a lav. And the Braisa continues, Rav Nosson Omer L'chalik. Rav Nosson says that the lo sevaru esh is teaching us the concept of chiluk malachas, which again, according to Rashi over here, means that you should know a person is chayev misa or any of the other penalties for Shabbos, even if he did only one malacha, he doesn't have to do all 39 of them. So in other words, according to him, it's an example of Dabar shahoyi b'chlal, v'yotze min ha'klal l'lamed, lo l'lamed al atma yotze, el l'lamed al klal kula yotze. So we learn that not only it applies to it, but it applies to all the other ones as well. Or as Rashi explains in other places, that it means that if a person does multiple malachas on Shabbos, then he's chayev multiple chatars. Anyway, so the Gemara has interjected that when Tanit Veda Bishmal begins by asking why does it say Lo Sevaru Esh B'Chomesh V'Seichem, we know why it says it. Why is Tanit Veda Bishmal looking for a different reason? So Omar Rava, Tana Meshavis B'Kashalei. You're right. The Tana is not focusing on why it says Lo Sevaru Esh. The Tana is focusing why it says B'Chomesh V'Seichem. Given that, the question is, the Tana is really asking, Moshavos Matam Leimer. Why does it say in the Pasuk, V'chomesh V'seichem? Mechdi Shabbos Chovas HaGufi. After all, Shabbos is an obligation on the individual person. V'chovas HaGuf Nehegas Bein Ba'oretz Bein Mechot Ba'oretz. We know from other places that mitzvahs that are incumbent on a person himself are noyeg everywhere in the world, in Eretz Yisrael and outside of it. Meaning, so you have mitzvahs atloyas va'aretz, you have mitzvahs that depend on Eretz Yisrael. For example, Rashi gives several examples, kilayim, orla, trumas, maisras, all of those depend on the land And therefore, those apply only in the land of Eretz Yisrael. But other kinds of mitzvahs that are chovas haguf are anyway noyig everywhere in the world. So why does the Torah have to specify then that you can't light a fire on Shabbos b'chomer shveisechem? So moshavos, the kosher rachmona b'shabbos lomali. So why does the Torah have to say the word moshavos in connection with Shabbos? Tosfos points out that actually in a different Gemara and Shabbos, the Gemara learns a different din than we're going to say now from that. It learns that you're allowed to light a fire in the Bis Mikdash. But still, Tosfos explains, in other words, that there's the fact that it says the word at all and the fact that it says Moshe Seichem. It could have said Moshavos and it says Moshe Seichem. Anyway, so that's the question. So now, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Talmud Echad. So now the answer is, So Tanad Veda Bishmal started teaching this Braisa, and they explain that one of the Talmudim said in front of Rabbi Shmuel, the reason is as follows. You have elsewhere in the Torah where it says that if a person does something that makes him chayev misa, then you have to execute him, meaning that executing a person is a mitzvah saseh. In fact, the Rambam lists them as four separate mitzvah saseh, to give a person who's chayev skila, to give a person who's chayev sreifa, etc. So there you have, there can be a lighting of fire on Shabbos, which is a mitzvah saseh. So shemeh ani bein b'chol b'im Shabbos. So you would think then, on the basis of that it means that you execute the person, whether on, and you're makayim that mitzvah saseh, whether on weekday or on Shabbos. And you would say, when the Torah tells us you're not allowed to break Shabbos, and a person who breaks Shabbos as chayiv misa, that would apply to other malachas, not ones that are done from Mrs. Beis Din. So how do you know that that's not the case? But, or vice versa, in alakfilo Mrs. Beis Din, vice versa though, you can equally well argue that mechalalel mos yumas, that anyone who breaks Shabbos as chayiv misa, applies even to Mrs. Beis Din. Umani mekayim vohumas b'chol v'lo b'Shabbos. Maybe the mitzvah of vohumas applies only on weekdays. Maybe it doesn't apply on Shabbos. Oh yeah, now alakfilo b'Shabbos, but maybe not. Maybe it means on Shabbos as well. In other words, you could go back and forth. You could argue, given that you have one mitzvah in the Torah to execute a person, or really, as the Rambam says, four separate mitzvahs, but whatever. And you also have a mitzvah that you're not allowed to break Shabbos, which one takes precedence? Based on the psukim we have so far, you wouldn't know. On the one hand, you have the mitzvah that it says to execute him. On the other hand, you have mechalalel mos yumas. So which one? So which one overrides which? Talmud Loimah, therefore, to break that, the Torah says, Lo Sivaru Esh B'chol Mesh Veseichem. Therefore, the Torah uses over here the expression that you're not allowed to light a fire anywhere in your dwellings. Then you have a different pasuk about a Ritzeach, where it says, V'hoyu Eilo Lachem L'chukas Mishpat. These rules that it said, as far as, among other things, that a Ritzeach, the Mezid, has to be executed, and a Ritzeach, the Shogig, has to go into Golos. That should be for you, L'chukas Mishpat. A law of judgment, for all your generations, in all your dwelling places. So it uses the same word as it uses by Shabbos. Therefore, we have Xera Shabbah. Just like over there, when it talks about the Ritzeach, we don't mean that any individual person kills the Ritzeach. Okay, the Goyal Adam code, but we're talking about the rules that it says over there, that the Beis Din judges him over there. We're clearly talking about Beis Din. The same way when it says Lois Savaru Esh B'chol Mesh Veseichem, means even in Beis Din, but Omer Achmona Lois Savaru. So the Torah is telling you don't make a fire there. So now let's consider. We're saying therefore that the essay of executing a person on Shabbos would override the law of not doing a malacha on Shabbos, were it not for the fact that the pasuk tells you lois sevaru esh. So therefore, again, you have a source for saying that an essay should be doicha lois essay sheyesh by kares, because Shabbos after all involves kares, and yet we're saying that it would have if it weren't for the pasuk lois sevaru esh. So that can be a basis for saying that in general, Eser Doicha Lois Eser, and that therefore you need a Gzeira Shava by Yibum to tell you otherwise. So the Gemara says, My Lav Rav Nosson. Now, shouldn't we assume that this whole drosha that we just said is according to Rav Nosson, Dama L'chalek Yotza, where he says that Havara is just like all the other malachas, just like all the other malachas, there's kores and skilla involved. Dama L'chalek Yotza. So he would say that the reason why it says Loi Sevaru Eish, why it mentioned specifically fire, is to tell us l'chalek yotza, that it comes to tell us that every malacha stands on its own, meaning, as we said before, as Rashi says over here, that that a person does even one malacha is chayv nisa, so you shouldn't think he has to do all 39. Or as Rashi says in other places, that it means that if a person does several malachas, then he's chayv several different chatois. Anyway, if we say that, then it means that Havara is Chayev, Kores, and Skila, just like every other Malacha. And so therefore, the Torah will be telling you, you would have thought that Nisus based in, that doing Nisus based in override that Issu Kores, and we're telling you that not. So therefore, that would mean that without a Posit telling you that it doesn't, then it does. So that's the thing, the time of the Kotzer Rachman Loi Sevaru, implying only because the Torah tells us the words Loi Sevaru Eish, doesn't mean that you don't do it, Holav Hochi Dachi. And that means, otherwise, without that, then doing this space then would be docha alav sheyesh bekores. So therefore, you would say that every time you want a lav, every time that you want an esset to not be docha alav sheyesh bekores, you need something explicit in the pasuk for that. So here you have the word the gzeira shava from Moshe Seichem. In the case of Yibum, you have the gzeira shava from Aleha, and so forth. And therefore, that would be how it would be. But the Gemara says, not necessarily. Loi, Rabbi Yossi, not necessarily. You could say that whole drasha is according to Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, and according to Rabbi Yossi, Havara is different than all the other malachas. It's only a lab. There's no chiyuv skila or kares involved. So therefore, so we would say, according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't have any proof over here that an eser is normally docha a lab sheyesh bei kares, because according to him, Havara doesn't involve kares. The Gemara says, it's a heavy Nami Rabbi Yossi. Okay, let's say it's even a Chon to Rabbi Yossi. Still, we can prove what we were after. Because, Eimud Amr Rabbi Yossi have order the lav yatsa. You know, when Rabbi Yossi says that have order is only a lav, is have order greatest. That's when you're only doing the malacha of have order, of lighting a fire. Have order the based in Bishop Psilahu. When Beis Din lights a fire to execute somebody, the mitzvah of Srefa, we know the mitzvah of Srefa doesn't involve that they don't make a pile of wood and burn the person on it. They melt lead and pour hot lead down his throat. So Havara the Beis Din Bishul Psilahu, that Havara involves melting a strip of lead and then pouring it down his throat. And we know that that's a malacha because of Omer Reb Sheshes Mali Bishul Psila Mali Bishul Sammanin. Reb Sheshes points out that that is equally much as much a malacha because there's no difference between cooking and melting down lead versus cooking herbs. Meaning to make the dyes for the Mishkan. We know that all the malachas of Shabbos you learn from what was done to build the Mishkan, and for the Mishkan they had to boil up various dye stuffs in order to be the tchelas from the chilazen and the agama and the chilastroni, whatever. They had to boil them up. So therefore, there's no difference between that and boiling lead. So boiling lead is equally much the avalacha of bishul. Certainly, Rabbi Yossi holds that bishul, there's no question he holds that bishul is a malacha that is chayiv kares. So even if you're going to say that fine, he holds havara is only a lav, but he definitely holds that Bishul is Chayiv Kares. So it doesn't matter then ultimately whether we're according to Rav Nosson or according to Rav Yossi. Rav Nosson would say the Havara is an Issur Kares. Rav Yossi would say the Bishul is an Issur Kares. So either way, then you've still accomplished the same thing. That would be a reason to say that you would see that a lot that an esser is doicha lav sheyesh bekores unless the Torah tells you otherwise. Namely, in this case, the Torah tells you by saying lois sevaru eish b'chol moshvei seichem, telling you the fact that you normally have a mitzvah in moshvei seichem, meaning in Beis Din, to execute somebody, but that does not take place on Shabbos. But if it weren't for that, then you would say that it would. The same way by Yibum, you would say that you would do Yibum, even where there's an Issur Kares involved, were it not for the fact that you have a Gzeira Shava from the word Aleph. So an interesting point over here, by the way, as far as Mrs. Based in, there's a couple of issues with it. One of them being that we said before, we talked before about Hechsher Mitzvah versus not. And one way of saying Hechsher Mitzvah, Tosfos had learned that Hechsher Mitzvah meant when you're not actually accomplishing the mitzvah yet. This is only a prerequisite for it. Well, the Ramban and other Rishonim point out, according to that, then wouldn't be melting the lead over here be a Hechsher Mitzvah? The fact is, you're not actually accomplishing the mitzvah of Mrs. Based in yet when you're melting the lead, only when you actually pour it down the guy's throat. So in fact, the Ramban gives an answer. Let's say, for example, hypothetically, you could melt the lead right over his mouth, so that right over his open mouth, you hold his mouth open, so that as it's melting, it's dripping into his mouth. So therefore, so you could have conceivably where it's not a Hechsher Mitzvah, but rather you're actually doing the Malacha at the same moment that you're accomplishing the Mitzvah Saseh. Another point in it is also why the Gemara doesn't mention you also have the Malacha of Netilas Neshama. Another one of the 39 Malachas is Sheichet, the shechting of an animal or killing an animal or a person. And in this case, you're doing that as well. So in fact, one of the answers is, okay, the Gemara could have mentioned that, but once we're already talking about Bishul, that's good enough. We don't really need to mention Netilas Neshama as well. Another point that some of the Mephoshim make, I think maybe the Orach HaNer says this, is it's conceivable that they might pour the lead down and he doesn't die right away. Maybe he manages to hang on for a few more minutes. So therefore, let's say you did it towards the end of Shabbos, then you wouldn't necessarily be doing the Malacha of Netilas Neshama on Shabbos, but you would be doing the Malacha of melting the lead, which is, as we said, a form of Bishul. Anyway, so far it sounds like we're good. It seems like we found an example where an esse would have been doicha loisas eshe yesh beikaris, namely that the esse of executing a person in Beis Din would override the lavim of Shabbos, would override the lav sheyesh beikaris of Shabbos. And again, we're saying even according to Rabbi Yossi, there's definitely a lav that involves kares involved, namely the lav, at the very least, there's the lav of cooking, of melting down the lead. And we would say it would have overridden it, except for the fact that the pasuk is telling us through the Gzeira Shava from the word Moshe Seichem that not. So it sounds like we're good, and we've shown that we would say that Esse is Doicha Lois Esse Sheyesh Beikaris, unless the Torah tells us otherwise. And now that justifies why we needed at the beginning of the Sugya, all the way back on Gimel Amud Beis, why we needed a Gzeira Shava to tell us that that's not the case with Yibum. However, that's not the end of the discussion yet, because now we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and the Gemara is going to go into another possibility of why we would say that the esse of executing somebody in Beis Din does not override the law of Shabbos. Not necessarily that we have to learn it through. Not necessarily that we have to learn it from the Gzeira Shava of Moshe Veseichem, but rather maybe that we have a Kavah Chomer that teaches us that. And therefore, it wouldn't necessarily apply in other places where the Kavah Chomer doesn't apply. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Bez Hashem.
For some mitzvahs, when we cannot find a source, we just say it's Moshe Mitzvah. Why we don't do this here?
When there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. In this case, obviously, we don't have one. In this case, we need to find a source in Pesukim, because we don't have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that tells us that you don't do yibum where there would be an error involved.
How do we know we don't have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai?
Because if we had one, we would have quoted it by now. That's what it is. I mean, the fact is, you know, if there was a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that was relevant to this, we would have quoted it. There isn't, so therefore, therefore it's obviously one of those halachas that we're deriving from Sukkim. Well, if we derive it from Sukkim, then we need to say why do we need that derivation from the pasuk if we know the concept from other places. Remember, what we've been going through the whole sugya so far is why do we need this gzeira shava? If anyway, why wouldn't we say as a general rule that an essay is not doicha lois essay, or more specifically, that an essay is not doicha lois essay sheyesh beikaris. We have to find a basis for saying that it would be doicha, that then we can say, well, now we need the Gzeira Shava to tell us that this is an exception to the rule. If there was a halacha Moshe Mitzinai involved in this, then we would have quoted it by now.
Okay.
Yeah.